everybody. We are live. How are you doing on this Friday night? What are you laughing at? Stop laughing.
Don't know, man.
You imagine if it was that type of podcast where it's like, how, why are you getting joy, you fucking piece of shit? Hi, everybody. We are live. We are indeed reviewing a film. Tonight, I am with Alex and Giovanni. The film in question, you may have guessed, Late Night with the Devil. Good guess. Anyway.
Very good guess.
What have you guys been watching this week since we only had one movie? And what have you been doing? How are you? Been a week? We haven't talked to each other in a week. Well, that's true. Well, that's not really true. We text, sex.
I talked to you last night.
Nudes. That's right. In the VC. Last night's a bit of a blur. Too much cocaine.
Damn it.
What have you guys been watching? Or playing at, for that matter?
So I've been... I watched Legion. Do you guys remember that movie?
Yes.
That movie is... I don't like it. It's not good. But the old lady part in the beginning is the best part of the whole movie.
I will say I like that movie more than I liked Priest.
I agree with you. Yeah, no, I agree. Priest was
like
terrible.
Legion was at least like a kind of a creepy demon, you know, whatever movie. It's like it was like a low budget Demon Night. Watching Grey's Anatomy while playing Paleo. It had like Priest. I watched that and I was like, what? Like none of this is cool, like at all. Like there's a couple CG creatures that are neat, but the vampire, you know, it's not very good.
Yeah, it's not good at all. That one's terrible.
Well, there was a weird movement in the 2000s where, like, if you look at all of those supernatural action movies, whether it be Van Helsing, Priest, they all have a weird similar CGI, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, all those, like, early 2000s ones, they all look like it was the same CGI company. And it was almost like a video game company making, you know, every year you'd see their new product display type shit. And that's what those movies felt like. It's like another year, another two Gennaro action horror movie come out. Except for that movie Daybreak. I liked that one.
Oh, Daybreak was good. That was good. I hope they make a part
two. That's the one that was like really in Alaska or something like that, right?
No, that was 30 Days of Night. Daybreak is the one with Ethan Hawke about vampires in the future.
Okay.
Not starring Blade, although I have heard Wesley Snipes is going to reemerge in the Marvel Comic Universe in Secret Wars. Oh, which has me wondering, so do you think Deadpool would be smart enough and funny enough to mock the Inhumans, or not Inhumans, the, what was the flop of a Marvel movie that came out with the Celestials?
Marvels?
Was that the, no.
Oh, no.
Isn't it the Celestials?
No. It's not in humans. That's the one with the girl from Game of Thrones. Shit.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Well, we know what movie I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, they had, at the end of that movie, there was like a voiceover of Marshall Ali as Blade. Wouldn't it be fucking funny if Deadpool did the same thing, but it was Wesley Snipes as Blade at the end of the movie?
If they put Deadpool in any of the Marvel movies... he has to point out why can't I swear, and he has to point out all the weird shit, but they have to let him do it.
Well, see, that's why the original Avengers, it sucks that Deadpool can't be with them, because it would have been very funny if, like, throughout the movie, he goes to swear and Cap's like, language, and then at a certain point, he goes to do it, he looks at Cap, and he's like, I know language! And, like, he's all mad about it. Like, you know.
That would have been really good.
But it seems like Deadpool and Wolverine is setting up quite a connection to him in the Marvel Universe. I don't know if any of it's going to actually. I mean, presumably, you're going to see Deadpool show up in the rest of them, like, Avengers 5 and 6. Like, hopefully, he's in it now, right? Like, that's the whole concept of this. He's like, a pure Marvel property. Like, if you're going to make.
Point, you know, how there's no blood. The CG is a little off. Like, have him point that shit out.
Like, oh, good. Your head's not floating in this one, Tony. And, like, Tony's like, who are you? You know, like, stuff like that. Like that's the thing is they have to go. He's got to be all in. Like, you can't just make Deadpool 3 and Wolverine or Deadpool and Wolverine and then him not be included in the future. You know what I mean? That would be stupid. And nobody would
weird,
like that.
Yeah.
How would that even? Because it seems like there's quite a bit of connection, even though he's going through the multiverse and shit. This is honestly kind of like the first introduction into the real multiverse of this universe and how maybe things are actually going to kind of fit together.
Mm-hmm. It also the whole concept of the Deadpool movie is he goes to a Wolverine who let his people die in his universe. And the whole concept is like, dude, here's your chance to redeem yourself. Like, come with me. Like,
which is the same, which is a little weird because they've also said that it's the same timeline as Logan, which is because Logan was basically the same, like, well, so not same timeline, but their Logan is still happened. Wolverine is dead in the universe.
Okay.
And that Logan is dead. But the problem is if you're talking about different dimensional Logans, right?
Yeah.
Because Logan and Logan, old man Logan, he had failed all mutants because he couldn't control Xavier. And that's the sadness of X-Men, of Wolverine, of Logan. If the truth is Xavier killed, 90% of the mutants by having a fucking seizure and Wolverine couldn't stop him. He wasn't there to do it or whatever the case was. And so if there's different dimensional Logans, this one has a similar story if he's failed people. But that is the question, right? Like, it's going to be a little weird to explain, like, how do you say, like, Logan still exists? This is a different Wolverine. We're not touching that timeline. Okay, so that means, theoretically, we can have as many Wolverines as we want. Like, oops, Jean Grey died, like Guardians of the Galaxy did that, when it said, oh, that's right, Gamora's dead, but we've got this other Gamora that hates him and doesn't really like him. And it's not really Gamora, but it is.
There's supposed to be apparently different Wolverines in the movie, so
there's also variations of Deadpool. Apparently, they've got set photos of Ryan Reynolds with like long hair and like all
the one without looking. The fucking mouth. The one without the mouth. Yeah,
like I think one of the coolest theories I've read for this movie is if they do an incredible Hulk versus Wolverine fight, like if we can finally get Hulk versus Wolverine in a movie, the concept would be.
Ed Norton.
Is Deadpool cleaning up the timelines again? And does Edward Norton's Wolverine make an appearance? Or Hulk make an appearance? And Wolverine ends up killing him? Like, he's a villain, you know what I mean? Like, I have no clue. Like, I have no idea how they're going to twist the timelines. There's lots of images and shit that point to every, X-Men villains, everybody from Azrael to Toad to potentially Sabrewulf. Deathstrike from X-Men 2 that Wolverine takes on. They're all, like, you see them there, so the fact that the villainous base is Scott's head, including teeth and skull, from the giant dead Ant-Man. So I have no idea how they're going to fuck with it, but it sounds like it's going to be pretty horrific. If they're smart, they go all in and they make reference to Tony's, like, apocalypse dream he had. You know, like, go all in, pick at everything, and you'll. But once again, he's gonna have to be in the universe now. You can't make this movie and have him not show up in other shit.
Yeah, like that would be weird.
Honestly, his contract should state that he should show up in random Marvel movies in a scene, going, "Oh, this is not my movie," and then walking out, and that's it.
That'd be amazing.
You know, and like that would be
taking the place of Stan Lee's.
Yes. Yeah. Can you imagine if it was just Deadpool and all the costumes? Like, I'm a mailman now. Like, exactly. Like, I always think of Half-Life 2 and Half-Life 1, where every now and then you look up at a grate and there's the dude in the suit with the briefcase just walking.
Yeah.
Like, I always, like, can you imagine if that, where it's just like, whatever. Fucking the new Captain America movie where they look over and like Batman, Deadpool is just like standing in front and then he slips and falls and you don't see him the rest of the movie. Like just stupid shit like that, I think would get over.
Did you get all this ideas from your Exit 8 gameplay yesterday?
You know what? That game was pretty fun. I didn't think I was going to be. Have you seen Exit 8, Giovanni?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it yet, though.
It is a hallway simulator. Where you're
just walking down a Z hallway.
It's a Tokyo subway, and you have to pick out anomalies. And essentially, if you don't see an anomaly, keep going. If you do, go back, turn around.
Okay, and yeah, I've seen it.
It resets on you.
So did you have to stay on the left side every time you were going straight?
No.
That didn't make a difference?
I figured, Earthbound's like, I don't think you have to stay in it. I was like, all right, let me try it. And I didn't have to. Because
one of the instructions did say stay left.
Yeah, so the whole time I'm like, right, but the problem is you can't see the posters well.
Right.
So it didn't make a hole. So we tried it. Yeah, no, you don't have to. But yeah, dude, it's everything from You're walking down the hallway, and there's always a guy that walks towards you. Just, he has a phone in one hand, briefcase in the other, straightforward, right? And the one time I'm going down the hall, and he's looking at me. And I'm like, he's fucking looking at me! And I took off, went the other way, and got that level right. At one point, he's smiling, and I'm like, this motherfucker's smiling! And like, I walked away and got that level correct. I got all the way up to level 8 twice. The first time, the game, I think, either glitched or fucked with me and did the same anomaly twice, which is it duplicated it. And then it reset me to 0, and I was like, what the fuck? I'm at the end! And then I finally beat it again. But, yeah, anomalies like the posters on the wall change. A door will open, the lights will turn off, you'll hear water, and I didn't stick around long enough to find out, but I'm pretty sure a wave comes down the fucking hallway. And then at one point, the guy who always walks towards you starts walking towards you aggressively fast and gets in your face, and it's reset. And then there's one where he's walking normal, but he's giant. And I'm like, that's an anomaly. And it was fun. It has me looking into other type games like that.
You had
like
one
where there's one like that where you're in an insane asylum.
Is that I'm on observation duty?
I think that's it.
I've been looking. Earthbound showed me those, and I've been looking at them. I think they're fun because people kind of like Nikki and them were playing along. Like, dude, I think I saw this. The problem is there's a little bit of lag because you're constantly walking down the hallway. Mm-hmm. I think in a game like I'm on observation duty, it's meant to be a little slower. It's a great game, says Vet. What's up, buddy? But I had fun with it. I got to be honest with you. Like I said, doing Walking Dead on the stream, it hurts. It's just such a bummer of a fucking game, dude.
It's super depressing, man. That game, it's a great game, but it's super depressing.
I kept elevator, popping in and out every.
Oh, dude, I couldn't deal with it. Like, I don't know why I decided to do it today. Like, we were supposed to do Call of Duty, and Fabian couldn't do it. I was like, okay, so I was like, I'll do the first chapter of season 2. How bad could it be, right? In the first 5 minutes. The one guy that we saved and worked with in season 1 gets shot and killed. His wife, as I said, was pregnant, but he gets killed. Fast forward 16 months. No baby. They don't talk about it.
No explanation either. Oh,
no explanation. Then you're forced to kill a dog because it attacks you. I'm just like, I can't, I don't know. Like, I don't have much of a soul. But you know, like the movies when it's like a spiritual faint, like pulsating, and it's like, you know, Superman's like, if we don't figure out how to get it off this rock or some shit, like it's going to lose signal. That's my soul. And then like, these things are just punching it. Like, let's test it. The hooker is hilarious. I have not played the elevator one. There's another one called Pools. And I guess that's supposed to give people pretty bad claustrophobia and whatnot, because you're literally walking through dark spaces and pools.
Jesus.
What's that game where it's like a you're in a water area and there's like a fucking Momo snake following you?
Yes, I don't know what it's called, but I've seen it, and the reactions to people freaking out about that thing are
the one that they did about that guy where he's screaming, "No!
That doesn't interest me, but I will say the game of like, have you seen the one where you have to just do normal shit meanwhile you're being like haunted or stalked? Like, one of them is go take a shower, and it's wash your hair where the screen goes black, and you have to hold the button down until your hair is done and completed washed, and the whole time try to not get killed.
Meanwhile, they play like Rockwell Stong at the same time?
I don't know. All I know is you have to periodically stop and open your eyes and see if you catch it in the movie. Yeah, dude, it's one of those fucking weird ones. But that sort of style does interest me in kind of a fun way. We'll also be doing streams of the putt-putt game soon, so... Kids can watch. I mean, the language is still gonna be the same. You know, I can't change that. It's in me. Fuck. Whoops. Alex, what have you been watching and or playing? Not with yourself.
No, I've been. I've been watching on Hulu Extraordinary. It's a British comedy about when people turn 18, they get their superhero powers, and it follows this one girl who. She's 25 now and she still hasn't received her powers.
Late bloomer.
And it's just it's fucking it's weird. It's got fucking really raunchy comedy. It fucking swears everything.
I see your interest in this show, and I raise you one. Sky High, anybody? You ever see that movie?
Yes.
Movie's awesome. I like that movie.
But this has the British humor thing to it too, so. And I don't know. I found it really good. It's two seasons. Yeah, it's on Hulu. It's got two seasons, and I think they're going for a third. But it's from Hulu UK. And
dude, I can't find a single movie that or TV show that I could watch by myself that Jen won't want to watch. So I'm like stuck in fucking purgatory. Like I have interest in Suits. I have interest in Modern Family. There's a bunch of them, and I can't watch any of them. Because we're watching Big Bang Theory now, and Big Bang Theory was on the air for 38 years. So we've got 38 years worth of content that we have to get through.
Another good one, Alex, is Misfits.
Okay.
Is that?
It's another British show. It's a little darker. It's kind of comical, but it's a bit darker. And it's about teenagers who are, you know, rapscallions, and they find out they have superpowers. And it's really, really good. It's called Misfits. I believe it's on Hulu as well.
There's this one guy that he can phase through walls, but he has to be naked. So the guy was like, all right, go ahead. We'll protect you. They all get like back to back, like they're covering him and he's going through the wall and he gets all the way through and he gets nervous and he stops and all his ass is just sticking out the fucking wall.
I didn't want to say all
leave him there. They leave him there.
Because what you're describing sounds cool and all, but it does sound like a lot of it is stolen from shit. Like, that's a gag from Mystery Men.
Yeah.
Not the facing through the wall. That is a gag from Mystery Men, yeah.
Not the facing through the wall part, but I can get invisible, but you have to not look at me. That's a Mystery Men gag. And then the other thing, there was another thing you said that sounded very similar to, like, I mean, which is, if it's good, it's good. Well,
he wasn't saying that he can get invisible if they don't see him. He said that he has to be naked to go through walls. He can't bring anything with him. He can only be his body.
Not even something in your prison pocket?
Well, I don't know. It's in his body.
Test it, find out.
you're gonna tweet the show? Hey, I had a question. You got a prison wallet you can fill up and test out? So anything else? I've been watching a lot. I feel stupid saying this. I've been watching more WWE autobiographies on like YouTube than anything. I haven't really watched many movies. I have been going through all of the Marvel movies up until Doctor Strange 2, because we have to watch that one together. But I've been watching all the action scenes. And I gotta say, it's still some that the Endgame and Infinity War still has some of the best action you've seen in movies since. Like it just, and I hate blowing smoke up Marvel, but it is what it is. Julian, why does Geo look like he's in a horror movie? He is. We all are. It's life.
Yep.
Also, if you have trouble with your Xfinity router, he'll be talking to you later.
Just make sure you turn it off and turn it back on again.
When you talk to him, he'll have a slight Indian accent, and his name will be Steven, but, you know. They're always the whitest of names. My name is Brian. Ah, is it? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. My name's Pinocchio. That's not what it says on your billing. Well, what does it say on your ID? I don't know. The problem is like, if you think about American customer service, how often do you have a good American customer service experience either, though?
Dude, the fact that I can understand you speaking English, that's good enough for me.
Yes, this is a Dickies shirt. You are correct, sir. It's a nice shirt. I have two of these, and I'll wear them until they're tattered and torn. I'll eventually maybe buy more, but I'll wear these for another two decades. They'll still be in style. Damn it, they were never in style. Nobody's wears Dickies. Well, that's not true. There was a period of time where people wore Dickies for style. We need you to play Silent Breath. What is that?
What is that?
I know there's that one game called Don't Scream, which is
that I'll buy it for you.
Yeah, you have to use the microphone.
And you can't mute either because it notices it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is like I'm pretty sure if I went to go vape, it would pick that up, and that would get me eliminated. You know, I mean, maybe with NVIDIA Broadcast, you can do some fuckery with it, turn the sensitivity way down, but that's another thing, because I've heard, what is Silent Breath, though? I'd have to look it up. Like, I don't know what that is.
Let's see what that is.
I don't look into these games much, or I haven't. really.
The movie is Eternals that you were talking about, Matt.
Eternals, yes.
I've tried watching it like 5-6 times, and I keep stopping at the same spot, like 30 minutes in. I just
the way that movie ends just pisses me off.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're supposed to be androids. Fuck you. They're not androids. The celestial beings. Like,
it's 2 hours and 40 minutes long, and I keep making only like 30-40 minutes.
I've honestly never watched it. Sean, Vetta, tell you what, you want to buy that for me? Please let me know what day you could actually watch it from the stream. I agree. Give me the English person so we can get through the issue faster for the service calls.
Yes.
Unless you're dealing with local, can we just say? Local customer service is my opinion, depending on where you live, maybe, is worse than like if I get a call center out of my zip code, I'm like, oh, fuck. Can I talk to Steven? Like that, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel about that. They're all fucking idiotic here. Silent Breath does look pretty cool. It's one of those cam horror games. Yeah. Much like the Don't Scream.
In the Vet says that trying to say that was people. A bad impression. I gave 3 hot dogs out of 10. What was the impression? Was it your impression of Steve?
I thought my impression of... Wow. Yeah, I guess he didn't like my impression of Steve. I didn't try hard on it, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I'll agree, it's not my best work. It's Friday, I'm a bit tired.
3 out of 10 hot dogs, huh?
I didn't have a coffee today. You know how three... I think... You do know we go out of 10 now, right? It's not 3 out of 5. I just want to make sure... We all know it's out of 10, just in case we need to course correct this decision at all. Yeah, I haven't, I did get, last week I got fully absorbed into Dead Island 2, and I told myself, fuck it, ride the wave, because I've been having a hard time. Oh, my impression of him. I didn't do an impression of him, did I? I'm confused. Steve is 7. Okay, good. I was going to say, if Steve wasn't that damn bad, not my best, but not that bad. I could have done better, sure. Fine. All right. Let's get down to the skinny. There's a movie we're talking about here, ladies. All right, I'll start. Late Night with the Devil, starring Polka Dot Man. I keep forgetting his name. David something or other. David Dashow.
David Dastmalchian. Dastmalchian.
David DDS.
David D.
Is in this movie. Polka Dot Man. He's been in ever since The Dark Knight, where he played a very small little character. He's been
smiling making, cop.
Yeah, the insane guy. He's been making more, you know, bigger roles, and you could actually watch his career chart from The Dark Knight. He paid his dues and did lower budget shit. I think he did some stage work, and now here he is, you know, I mean, it might not be super Hollywood budget, but he's the main man in the movie, and I gotta be honest with you, he does a pretty good fucking job in the role.
Yeah,
he does. This movie, the concept of it is, it's a found footage, but not a found footage. It's like a hidden footage.
Yeah.
They locked it away. It's presented as a mockumentary, if you will.
Right.
And then here's what happened. In our lifetime, this happened 3 times in our lifetime. It was the Blair Witch, where people thought it was real, and they had to come forward and like, nah, it wasn't real. There was a British TV movie called Ghost Watch.
Ooh, I remember Ghost Watch. Out,
and people thought it was real. Unfortunately, that didn't end as well as Blair Witch. Those people got sued because they played it off as real.
Ooh. And then it was supposed to be like a real news broadcast was the problem. Yeah, yeah. Like, it alerted people. But it was cool. I bet you mentioned
that, man. There's a second time it happened. It's called the McFlaren tape. Do you remember that about the alien abduction?
Yep. Oh, dude, I remember watching that live on TV. Some point, Fox replayed it. I think it might have been when Independence Day came out. Fox replayed it.
Chat, if you want to see it, you can watch it on YouTube for free. It's called the McFlaren tapes. It is one of the best 1983. Videotape footage like abduction movies I've ever seen. It's really good.
Yeah, before you had things like Blair Witch, it killed it. It was amazing. And then they would play, I think they would play it every few years on either around Halloween or it might have been for Independence, but I remember seeing it in the 90s because I obviously wasn't alive in 83. But yeah, I still to this day remember that and love it. I remember when you finally see the grays up close.
Yeah.
And then there's the one scene of like they're in the fields and they're just lasering a cow.
They come over the hill. Yeah. They look down and they're like, what are they doing?
Like, yeah. And it's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
So good.
There was a show called Freaky Links that had Ethan Embry. We talked about this before, but Ethan Embry.
I remember Freaky Links.
And it people like actually thought like the stuff that he was talking about in the show that they were covering was actually real. So they had cameras set up in places around the world saying that, you know, we're looking for the chupacabra, and they had fucking 24-hour cameras just sitting somewhere watching the cows. You know, they had shit like that, and it, like people were just going crazy about that shit.
You know how many people were seeing fucking goats and sheep and stuff on those cameras? Probably a lot.
And nothing ever happened to them, actually.
No, of course it didn't. Of course it didn't. Although, I still think one of the great monster movies that nobody talks about, probably because it's Norwegian, is Trollhunter.
I love Trollhunter.
That movie's so amazing, good. And it's never in the conversation when people talk about creature films, and I don't understand why. It's awesome.
Yeah, that movie's really good.
It's a good mix of mockumentary. There's humor in it. It's not ultra-violent. Like, it's not a bloodbath. It's one of those ones where, like, it'll be a little scary for kids, but it's not gory, so if, like, you're not into gore, it's just a fun, kind of dumb monster movie. Yeah.
It's kind of science-y.
Well, the whole concept is this college crew goes and finds this troll hunter guy, and they think he's just crazy and full of shit, and he smells like piss, which happens to be pheromones. And then out of the blue, they're kind of like, wait, what the fuck is that? And a fucking troll comes out, and he's in this, like, suit of armor, and the armor just fucking hits him with his club. Yeah, no, that movie... Yeah.
Like, do we run? Do we check out?
Like, what the? If you've never seen Troll Hunter, it was on Netflix and shit for a while. I don't know if it is now. It's worth a buy because you can find it for like $5 on sale. Definitely worth it. I've also seen that they're releasing in July a $40 edition 4K of UHF, and I think it's going to be a must buy for me. Physical. Shout Factory, out of all, they're the ones releasing it. So, you know, it'll be decent quality.
Nice.
I think somebody might get it for their birthday.
You could watch Troll Hunter on Freevee, the Peacock Network.
Peacock
Prime, but you have to have Prime.
Well, I thought Prime is Freevee.
Freevee? No, it's a separate app. You can have it on your own.
But Prime has a lot of Freevee shit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They have Freevee.
I think it's owned by Amazon.
That's what I say. I think it's owned.
But you can have your own separate app. You don't have to have an Amazon account to actually use Freevee.
You just have to have a Freevee account.
Yeah.
Which is probably the same. Link your Amazon account today is probably what pops up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where you can watch it right now.
It's worth it. Or buy it. It's like $5.
Support.
Yeah. Just buy it. It's good. That's like the Exit 8 game. I beat it and KG's like, you're going to return it? I was like, nah. They gave me a couple hours of entertainment.
How many hours? How many hours do they give you on Steam?
Yeah, it was like 2 hours. I think I was under the window because I think I streamed for like an hour and 57. So I probably could have returned it for my $4, but that's okay. I'm going to go return Helldivers 2 instead. I get it. Like
the charge on your credit card.
I get it, dude. I really do.
Best way.
But like... If you don't know, the Helldivers 2 controversy is from now on, even Steam owners are going to have to log into a PlayStation account, connect their Steam account to a PlayStation account, which you do for Epic, you do for Battle.net, you do for EA, you do for Ubisoft. It's no fucking different. The issue comes into where there are certain countries and regions you can't have a PSN account. So then the question is, what happens to all those people that own it that don't have an account to log into and they can't even create an account because PSN is just not offered in their region? That's the only problem, in my opinion.
If you're so angry
that you have to create a PSN account and never use it, never think about it, never even have to log into it because you'll link it with the Steam account and only every, 6 months maybe, it'll get popped and you'll have to log into it. If you're that mad that you're going to return it with 80 hours into it, you're kind of a fucking cunt. Now, I think it's also kind of cunty for Sony to tell people in like Portugal or some area that they don't support, hey, we know you bought our game on PC, but fuck you, you need a PSN account. Like, that's bullshit. I don't agree with that. I think Sony's only doing it to conflate the PS5 numbers. They're trying to justify to shareholders why they're losing whatever they're losing per console, right? So, like, especially when one of their biggest recent hits is Helldivers 2 and 50% of the market share is PC players. It's all bullshit. The problem is I don't agree with people that have been playing this game since the beginning, 80, 100, 120 hours in the fucking thing going, I want a refund. Why? Who the fuck do you think you are to think you're entitled of a refund? You spent $40 on a product and you got for that money.
Oh, that's right. It was only $40.
You spent 30 cents an hour of it. For every hour you've played of that game, it only cost you 30 cents to enjoy it. And you think you deserve a fucking refund? Fuck you, dude. Like,
I forgot it was only $40.
Yeah, no, you know this sandwich that you made me? Yeah, it was good, but then I let it sit out in the sun. I want a refund. Oh, where is it?
Halfway through, and I didn't like it.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, okay, well, where's the sandwich? Oh, I ate the whole thing, but I didn't think it was good once I finished. I was like, ah, it could have been better. I want a refund. And it's like, no, dude, just like the people that are losing their mind over the crew being removed from libraries and going offline.
Yeah.
Once again, I get it. Jen is 10 hot dogs. Thumbs up. I get it. But once again, the game is, it's an online only game. They're not supporting the servers. They're not obligated to support servers for infinite amount of time. There's like, well, let's be honest. How many people were playing the crew one? Fucking at max 40 across the world.
I never heard about the game The Crew until you started talking about it with KG.
And then, well, that's the other thing, is The Crew 2 is out, been out for years, is better than The Crew 1. So this idea of like, fuck you, Ubisoft, and it's like, give them the game back, put it back in their library. Guess what? They still can't play the goddamn thing. There's no servers. Just give them the icon so they can click it and appease their ego. Like, that's the thing, is Ubisoft could relent and add it to their library, and then they go to play it and go, sorry, servers are done, bitch. A little message pops up. They could do that, but they choose not to. Like, because they're fucking idiots. Like, you removed it from my library. Oh, so you wanted a game that you could never play again. Just to sit there, it makes you happy. That's what they're fighting for. I don't get it.
What was the game The Crew about? Like,
it's a racing game. Just
racing?
Yeah, and The Crew 2 was even better. Because
it's all against people, though.
Yeah. Even if you were playing solo, it was much like Forza Horizon, where there's people in the universe doing their own thing. So The Crew 2, this is why I say The Crew 2 is better, because it's a boat, plane, and car, but The Crew 2 was a road trip across the country. So, like, you know, you're going through this race course is in Illinois, this one's in New York, and yeah, like, for me, it's a cool, like, the game is neat, I enjoy it, it's a little old at this point. But once again, The Crew 1 is a decade, if not older. Okay. There's two sequels out that are in full support. Why the fuck are they? Why should they have to maintain the servers for a decade further than that on a game that nobody's playing?
How long did you go with Halo?
That's different though, because people still play Halo.
Halo, I guarantee you, Halo is in the probably tens of thousands, if not maybe under 50. Over 10, I guarantee you The Crew 1, I'll go very big for them. Less than 100 people worldwide.
And when you're talking Halo, you're not even talking Halo Infinite.
You're talking the Master Chief Collection.
Original.
Well, that's the thing is, Microsoft also said they're no longer doing any updates on the Master Chief Collection because there's no way to make money off of it. There's no microtransactions in it.
Giovanni's brother, my other nephew, Giovanni's brother, he took screenshots of all of our stats and shit from when we were playing, when they closed all the servers for the original Halos. And he still hasn't showed it to us, but he said he screenshotted all that shit.
I don't know. I played a lot of Halo online. My big one online was Halo 2. As far as like, because that was when Xbox Live first came out, really, or not too long before. We were beta testers. So then we got an ultra cheap like year or whatever subscription and kept it going. Yeah. I remember Halo. Alex and I used to play Halo 2. The battles we would I would get into with people. That was back when I used to talk shit. Nowadays it's just like I mute everybody in the lobby.
My most memorable was Halo Reach.
Reach was good.
Really good.
See, I don't know what my favorite campaign is. I mean, I probably would say Halo 2. But Halo 3, the part in Halo 1 where you first meet the papier-mâché people, what are they called? The ones you shoot with the shotgun and they poof into dust and shit?
The
Swarm?
The Flood?
The Flood. The Flood, yeah. At the end of the first Halo, when you first encounter them, you have a pistol and a shotgun.
I just
remember going through the map going... And then poof, they poop in the
dust.
Which one
was that? Which game was that?
That's the first
one. That was one.
Okay, so when that happened, that was like my favorite thing was just the end of the fucking game running through all that shit.
Yeah, you're going through this fucking, it's almost Metroid-ish because it's kind of like, you need to get the fuck out of there. And they're just popping out of nowhere like zombies and you're just pooping them into dust. I'm going to replay fucking, that game.
You're you fucking know, following you know, fucking, what's his name, Spark guy.
It was the fucking song. Because the main Halo theme was playing.
The Halo soundtrack.
That fucking beeping shit.
Tim bought our original Xbox because of Halo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was his whole thing. I think the only game he bought was Halo. And then back then, you used to get, like, discs with demos on them. Remember those?
Oh, demo discs.
Remember the Gaming Weekly or Gaming Monthly used to come with a demo disc?
Yeah.
Oh, demo discs used to come in fucking cereal boxes.
Dude, PlayStation 1 was the golden era of demo discs.
Yeah.
I used to somehow, I can't remember how I did it, but I used to get Xbox Gamer Magazine for free. And then when that stopped happening, I started working at Blockbuster, of course. So I would get all the magazines when they were destroying them. My boss was like, hey, you know, take this home. He's like, just, you know, go grab it from the back. I was like, oh, thanks, man.
I remember you guys used to waste so much time marking up the discs. Like, well, you individually with a fucking box cutter.
Until they gave us the grinder.
Yeah, and even that thing took forever, too.
Per disc really? You just fucking fed it through. Zing, zing, per, zing.
Yeah,
zing,
but still, zing, it, like, it's a hell of a lot easier than just going dump. You know what I mean? Like,
they just wanted to make sure people
throw them away. What does it matter?
They were just making sure people didn't dumpster dive and you know, profit off of their, you know, shit that they had to destroy.
You're throwing it away. Hey, I just got this sandwich, right? Or no, I've got all this food. This food's been in my fridge for a week. Still pretty fresh food. I'm going to throw it away, but I'm going to light it on fire so no homeless people can get any food from it. It's stupid. Silent Hill demo disc. It was a stupid concept. The fact that at times we were throwing away hundreds of discs was stupid. Like, no joke.
The Blockbuster exclusives?
Yeah, no joke. There were times where we were on a Sunday morning, we were destroying and throwing away a stack of discs this fucking high. Or a bag full of them at times. Like, hundreds of these things. Like, there would be a movie that Blockbuster bought 200 fucking copies of, 2 weeks later, nobody wants to see it. And here was the thing about Blockbuster that nobody understands. When the movies were out of stock, they lasted longer. Anytime Blockbuster bought a movie and bought 150 copies so everybody in the neighborhood could get one, that first week it did well, and then it didn't do shit after that. Movies where they only had limited copies, those did better week to week because every Friday night, some asshole who wanted to see it last week and couldn't maybe got it this week. Or fuck, he's still waiting. That was the trick of Blockbuster.
If they kept it longer, they got to pay for it because there were still those late fees and shit. And
like that was the trickery of Blockbuster. Blockbuster realistically didn't want everybody to get a movie that they wanted. They wanted people to walk in there, go, fuck, Sleepless in Seattle's out of stock, and pick a different movie. So when they return that movie, they can go, hey, was Sleepless in Seattle in stock? And nah, sorry, buddy. All right, I'll try back. So then they come back Friday night, because they remember, I think it was 2 day rentals. So they were back like the next day with the fucking movies dropping them off. So then Friday night comes, you're back in Blockbuster. And then it's like, hey, man, and then they got it. Oh, fuck yeah. Well, you got to come back to return it. And then boom. And then the rewards program happened, where then it's like, this movie's back in 2 days. This movie's back in 5 days. If they watched the first one but didn't watch the second one, they're probably going to keep it. if they really want to watch it. So that's another trip they got to make back there. And if, you know what I mean? Like, if you weren't an avid moviegoer, Blockbuster was a hassle. But if you were a movie person and you knew how to play the game, Blockbuster was wonderful. And I enjoyed Blockbuster up until shit hit the fan and it became a shithole to work in. That was a personal store problem. The company obviously was a shithole because it closed. But in the end, the company's a shithole. But that store we were in just became shit and toxic. And you had fucking assholes being as the managers, and the woman who was running it was a fucking moron.
I was there for almost, 10 years or some shit like that, until it finally fucking just, people were fucking dicks and...
Yeah, it just became as it declined in money and revenue, it lost any sort of fun. You weren't getting good hours, you weren't making good money, there wasn't moving up in the company anymore.
I think as it declined, they just promoted whoever was up there. And then they were just shitty fucking managers that did the bare minimum.
Well, here's the thing. You had people like when I came into Blockbuster, you had people like our previous manager who was a blatant thief and pathological liar. Then his direct superior was potentially a pedo as well as a lazy piece of shit.
Oh, the pilot guy or some shit. Wasn't he a pilot too?
He used to go to Disney every year by himself. Like, that's my vacation. Donovan. That was his name. And he was tight with our previous manager and just didn't do his job. He, hey, I'm going to look this way when this guy's stealing this way. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Then the new one came in. She was a twat. She was just an angry,
bold-like black woman
who didn't like us. Didn't like Arthur. And I think by proxy didn't like any of us.
And she didn't like me because I was a breeder. And I know that much because she made it very obvious.
What, like, as in you've had children?
Yeah, that I was married and I had children. Yeah, she didn't like me for that.
I have fun memories of Blockbuster. I remember before I ever worked there, long before. I walked in, I think I was like 14, and there was this weird hippy-dippy chick. I don't know, maybe you worked with her. She was like...
Destiny?
Yes.
She loved you.
Well, yes, I don't know why, but every time I went to Blockbuster and she was working, I was treated very well.
She wanted to have all your babies.
Yeah, that was weird.
She told my
brother at one time she wanted to jump me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you could have said that in the store.
She was very big into...
saying.
What was that big game back then? MMO, the big MMO game? What was it?
Second Sight or World of Warcraft?
World of Warcraft? Yeah, wow.
Disney Solo is a weird look, dude. Yeah, and here's the thing. This fucking guy looked like Homer Simpson. He was balding to the, like, with the thin strand hair.
With a cross of Mo.
He had a beer gut. Like, he was just a pervy-looking motherfucker, and he would go to Disney every year by himself for vacation. Something lizard people would say. No, see, honestly, that's progressive for back then, because nowadays I could see some of these ditzy fucks on these campuses yelling breeder at people, at families trying to go to the fucking park.
Breeder at people who are in... male-female relationship.
Dude, you should have looked her in the eye, right? And you should have been like, not only am I a breeder, my kids are mixed. That would have crushed her. My kids are Filipino. What have you done? Oh.
Now it's more like, I was born with my penis. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look at this. This, like, you know how, like, being straight is now cis male? They're going to come up with some term for natural dicks, right? Like, there will be a term for, like, look at this natty thinking he's cool. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, natty female is like, well, look at this bitch with her real vagina. And, like, dudes are going to be like, oh, yeah, you don't have an inverse belly button. You got a real penis. You think you're cool?
She didn't have to pay for her mammaries.
Yeah, like, how much surgery did that take? And it's like, I'm all natural. And it's like, oh, you think you're better than me because you got a real dick? It's like, I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't
Excuse
know.
Me?
Like,
what?
Sure. What? I mean, it is real. It's not great, but it's real. That's every lover I've ever had. All 14.
So we've only talked 4 minutes about this movie.
We don't need to talk that much about it. Go watch it. It's good.
It's a great movie.
You're right. So basically, and here's, well, I'm not going to go, I don't want to go like scene by scene with it, but one of the things I love about this movie is it really does capture like the vibe of a real kind of like 70s nighttime TV show. Like not Johnny Carson. Like it captures the 70s version of almost like Arsenio Hall, like a side, you know, a side one, like a Letterman versus Leno sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who comes after the show that, you know, like the late night show, and then he's the late late show, like that guy.
Yeah,
who's
yeah.
actually funnier than the first guy, but he's there because he's not that great. Yeah, well.
Mm-hmm. And as I said about his performance, he does a really good job as it, both in the horror scenes as well as he does a really good job as a host of a fake like 70 that, nighttime talk show.
He killed it in that shit, because that's what I was looking at. Now the way he like made those faces, his expressions, it was very fucking 70s. Well, everything.
I feel like he must be friends or must have communicated with somebody like a Conan O'Brien or something. Because he's got he has a legit like, hey, hands welcome to
tucked in the pocket.
Yeah, welcome to the talking. Late show. Welcome to the late show. It's me, blah, blah, blah. He's got a real, like an actual cadence for it. The yeah. production, everything in this movie conveys like a real 70s, you know, bordering 80s nighttime talk show, like a Johnny Carson, like a David Letterman to Jay Leno type thing of what situation yeah. it is. In fact, in the storyline, that's a big part of it is yep. more chaos ensues and his producer's like, oh, we just beat Johnny. You know, we're good. They've renewed our contract. Spoilers, by the way. But I don't know, man, I really like this movie. I was looking forward to it. We were supposed to review it a month ago, but I didn't read clearly enough. And I don't know, maybe dumb me, I saw a movie that's got Shudder Films all over it. I just assumed it would release to Shudder when it came out, and instead yeah. it went to the theaters for a goddamn month, and then went to Shudder.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, yeah. when I had initially talked about it to you guys, I wanted to review this fucking thing a month ago, because it was released in theaters a month ago. I thought because it was a Shudder Films movie, it was going to be on Shudder immediately. No, they had a month theatrical release, then it hit. We would have reviewed this probably last week because this came out on Shudder. We would have reviewed it the week we did Fallout.
The 19th,
because it came out. Yeah, it was released the 19th on Shudder, but we were already doing Fallout, so I wasn't going to bump Fallout for it. Otherwise, we'd have already reviewed this movie either a month or 2 weeks ago, either however you want to look at it.
That's true. Yeah,
but I enjoyed. I enjoyed the. Aesthetics. I thought the scenes were a little weird when it starts in like full 4K and then goes into the documentary sort of view and then comes back into 4K in moments. The artistry of it was a little odd to me.
I kind of liked that how it was at certain points that the way they changed cameras, because there's like it seemed like there was somebody still in the background filming them, because they even said it was footage that they found.
After
you remember 8mm, yeah, 8mm was actually a lot better than anything back in the day too. So,
yeah, I mean, hell, 8mm nowadays, if the negatives are in good enough shape, real, you could blow that up to 8K theoretically.
So I kind of liked how they kept changing. That was one of the things that I wrote at the end of my review thing, was I liked how they utilized all the different camera angles, and then they actually utilized like if there was somebody filming, documentary style. You know, like, I like how they did that.
Before we actually go into the ending, how did you guys feel about it? Like, when the movie ends, what do you think?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the ending quite a bit. It does leave you hanging. I do feel that once you get to that ending portion and the tidbits in between, I feel that his character made a deal in a secret society. But I read arguments that that's not what happened. So I guess that's the argument. Like, did he make a deal? Did something happen? You know, was his wife actually, did she die of cancer?
Well, see,
or was that the sacrifice? Like,
see, that's the whole thing is like,
yeah.
First off, Vet says, also, I love the new camera view, Giovanni. You look like the cover of the newest indie town rap artist, DJ Tamariel. DJ Tamariel, I like it. That should be your new name. That's instead of Papa Gigio, it's now DJ Tamariel. So that's my thing about the ending. And we're going to, spoilers, guys, we're going to go into the ending deep because I want to discuss this. We're going to go all deep. When does his hypnosis start? Because by the end of the movie, and this is why I love and hate the ending, we have seen this before if you've seen A Christmas Horror Story.
Yeah.
Same exact sort of, gotcha! So I knock points off of it for that. But my question is, also, so the way the screen changes, is that him going into different layers of hypnosis or him going in and out? Who is hypnotizing him? Is it the skull mask guy? Because it was none of the people on stage.
Yeah, so there was also that skull mask guy. That
there's so many questions I have, and that's why I don't like the ending as much. Like, I like it, but I'm 50-50 on it. It's because I have so many questions, and the biggest one is who hypnotized him into this dream?
I think it was before. So, like, the movie leads you up to, there is a huge hypnotism scene.
Yeah.
And if you're watching and you're not paying attention, I'm going to tell you, you may think that's when he was hypnotized. I don't think that's when he was. I think it was before that.
No, I feel like his hypnotism started at the beginning before any guest got on stage.
Really?
Either that or the girl is legitimately possessed and it's influence from the demon.
I think it's when she starts talking to him and he's like,
yeah,
because I think that's when it started.
There is a lot of like questions I have, like him going to the Grove. If his wife was the sacrifice, that means that he somehow gave her cancer on purpose. Either that, or he signed the blood pack, and the blood pack was she's the sacrifice, but not all sacrifices are somebody getting stabbed in the stomach with a dagger.
Yeah,
cancer can be a sacrifice, too.
So I think that if it was at the Grove, I think he really did love his wife. I think there's a point through the show, especially when the medium mentions, and he kind of zones out for a second.
Oh, for Minnie? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think he did love his wife. And I think if he made a deal at the Grove, they told him, they didn't all explain, like, there's going to be a sacrifice.
Yeah.
I think he felt like probably he was the sacrifice.
Yeah, they did. Probably were like, there, you will have to sacrifice, and just kind of left it open-ended. And then... Maybe the whole thing is this is the realization within the hypnotism that he's in, he's realizing that she indeed was the sacrifice. Because why else would it bring up the fact that he's having
guilt about it?
Yeah,
well, no. I think the devil, well, the demon showed him that in the hypnotism to show him this is what you sacrificed. Because she constantly tells him, she's like, oh, this is going to be a memorable night for you. Oh, we're going to have fun tonight. Like, and then starts like, I know you. I've saw you before under the light of the trees. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Which, how would that girl have any idea?
Exactly.
Now, that's the thing. Exactly. Is he hypnotized at that point?
Why
didn't they show a fast-forwarded scene of him butchering everybody without the hypnotism like they did earlier in the movie? Like, don't show the whole thing, right? But show like a time-lapse of him doing all this shit, just bare camera, if that's the case. Like, give me something. I think Vet left the show. He said, I want a refund for the podcast. I don't know why. I didn't think he paid anything for it. But if you are paying something for this podcast, and you're not, like, tipping or anything like that, I'm afraid you're getting ripped off. I'm not getting this money.
For not giving us the super chat.
Yeah, it must be some other. We can't even do super chats because we're not monetized. Like, he would literally have to put in the chat, "Hey, I sent you Zelle money, or I sent you money via PayPal." Like that, you know what I mean? Like, that would be the method. I got a side hustle going on over here for Nerds Do Movie. Oh, okay. Wow. Jen's been pimping out her show, making all of the profits. Wow. I wondered why she had more diamonds. I didn't think we were that popular. I'm going to return those diamonds, even if her fingers are still attached.
Matt just starts recognizing shit around the house.
Yeah, right.
Where did these new rims come from?
When did we get a gold statue of Yoshi? Yeah, I like it, but when did we get it?
Why does the car got low-profile tires now?
Dude, that's her when she goes into Aldi. My dad also loves Aldi. He calls their aisle of random shit the aisle. They both call it the aisle of shame. And, like, she can go to Aldi for bread and be like, I got some dog toys, and I got a mat, and I got a splash pad for Minnie, and a portable barbecue pizza oven. All right. Don't buy their produce, though. Aldi food is bioengineered. A lot of it. If you look at their label, a lot of it is grown in a biolab.
Nice.
Sweet.
I mean, to be fair, it's probably the biggest avocados you can get, right? If you're making it in a lab, make it gigantic. I mean, what's the point not to?
If I don't have superpowers by 50, I'm suing.
Is that, yeah, Giovanni is going, if you know of food that has NGOs in it, he wants it, and he's been eating nothing but Encore Salisbury steak for a year. And he's just trying to boost up, as he says. But I love this movie. I really did enjoy it. I like the vibe. I like the atmosphere. I like the fact that the CG that's in it is like a modern-day take on, like, Poltergeist. It's not, like, you know, they made it look old while obviously it's not old type thing.
And what's really cool about it is it's not necessarily a horror movie.
Yeah, not really. Thriller, I'd say.
It's very much, like, psychological
twists. Psychological horror, I think, would be fair.
Yeah, it's really well done. The psychological twists in this are really well done. I think the open ending leaves a lot to be discussed.
I just would have loved to see, like, a post-credit scene of a time-lapse of him doing it all without the hypnosis point of view. And I thought maybe that would happen because of how they utilized it earlier in the film, but they didn't.
They also took a very interesting twist on a demonic transformation at the end.
Yeah.
I thought she looked fucking amazing.
But oh, with the head split?
Yeah, that was really cool. I was like, holy shit.
Which, if, like, I still, the skull mask guy is my thing of, like, who hypnotized him? And furthermore, who was feeding him this imagery? Like, that's the other thing is, like, where was he getting the signals to see this? Who was directing it all? Because earlier when they go to the band leader guy with the worms, that guy's sitting there the whole time directing it, and they prove it, and they show it. Uh-huh. So, like, who's directing the main guy? Who was the orchestrator of all this? Was it the legit demon and the little girl's dead, too? Mm-hmm. By his hand. So, like, who's the puppet master? I want to fucking know.
I think the guy in the skeleton, I came to the conclusion that the guy in the skeleton is a Grove member.
Okay.
I feel because that's kind of, if you think about it, like, if you go with the Grove theory, it makes sense. That guy didn't react to him when he was poking at him.
Yeah. Why else would they make him a fairy?
Yeah. Like, and that, in his hallucination at the end, or hypnotism at the end, the guy was in there. Like,
yeah.
Like, why would you put him? I know he wasn't like a front and center. But why would you put him in view of the camera? Why would you
would go back to him like a couple times too. Like,
And then towards the end of the movie, when he goes to the like last layers of the hypnosis, you see him again. He pops up.
Yeah.
Jen says, "I believe Metallica is the puppet master." No, they are the master of puppets. Incorrect. And you did not give us the answer in the form of a question. Sorry.
You lose.
Next time on our bullshit game of lies is what I'm going to call this. One day we are going to do an episode where we're just doing movie trivia. Like, we're going to quiz each other.
Also, I love how the doctor who adopted Lily talks about, like, loving her when it's really just abuse. Like, how can you, in the same sentence, how can you be like, I loved her, I took her in, but I've done experiments. Like,
what? Yeah. Like, she's, I've made a career off of her, but she's my daughter. But yeah, I mean, my entire career is based off my book and everything I wrote about her. I exploited the shit out of her, but I love her.
And then she's also a fucking banging dude. Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
It's even funny how, like, when the demon comes in, he's like, you know, she likes you, you know, she says you're handsome or whatever the fuck she says. Like, it had all of the good marks of, like, this movie really is a mix of things like Exorcism meets Poltergeist. Meets that Johnny Carson sort of late night show. It does legitimately feel like that. Like, they did a really good job with this one. I don't know what the budget or anything was. I don't know if Shudder releases those details. But
because it released in theaters, I wonder what is the budget.
Let's see. Like, let's see if they've released it. Shudder. Like, here's the thing. I am gonna say about Shudder, dude. If you're gonna release a movie and, like, in the trailer, it's all like Shudder Films. Put it on Shudder immediately, you fucking assholes. Otherwise,
I wonder if they,
fuck you, man.
I wonder if they went with the theater release to, I guess, I mean, if this was successful for them, I wonder if Shudder's going to do more Shudder productions.
I mean, I think it did pretty well. It, let's see, Forbes has an article on it.
Yeah, because IMDb has
so, as far as what they've made worldwide, it made $11 million.
Oh, it does. Here it goes.
But okay. I don't know what their budget was.
Let's see. Low budget Late Night with the Devil is set in the 70s and spent just $150,000 on visual effects. I think I did see somewhere say that the budget was $3 million, which releasing for a month in select theaters, I'd say it did pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made $11 million. I think it said $9 million in US and Canada.
Hey man, I mean I would like to see hopefully they could figure out how to do a sequel or something in the same universe. Because I really did enjoy the vibe of this movie. I enjoyed how they did it. The acting was on point for virtually everybody. The other magician hypnosis guy was a little over the top, but he was supposed to be. He was kind of like
the first guy, Christosa?
Yeah, he was supposed to.
No, not Christosa, the guy who was disproving it all.
Oh, Carl,
yeah, the skeptic magician, which was really hilarious. He's a magician, but he's
skeptic. Made me want to fucking punch him every time, though. Like, he was that kind of
character. I mean, he proves a pretty awesome point, though, with the worms gag.
Yeah.
He does, yeah.
Which is more reason for why I'm angry, why we didn't see that earlier, of like, at the end of the film, in the post-credits, show me the raw footage time lapse. Because you've already done this once in the film. I know you can, and that's all I would have needed to give me 100% closure on the movie, to be honest with you.
But what if that didn't happen, where all he did was actually stab her at the end?
But then who's
under him? What if everything did happen the way it did, but he actually just finally killed her at the end?
Because they show it at the end of that not being the truth. He's already wiped out everybody else, and they're all in like a row around him. Like, the whole concept is he killed everybody.
Hmm.
Like, it's the same thing as Christmas Horror Story, where it's not this enchanted tale. It's the on-scene reporter lost his mind and started murdering people at the mall.
Yeah.
They're all
around him, and you hear the police officers.
Yeah.
But then again, if you look at the bodies, like, okay, the twisted head I get, the slit throat I get, the daughter stabbed. But the magician guy is still melted.
Is he?
Yeah, he's still melted. Like, you look at him on the floor and he's melted.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing. Are they trying to say he's hypnotized or the audience is hypnotized on top of it?
Are we the hypnotized ones? If he's still melted, I also thought, what happens if Lily wasn't the one who was really possessed? What happens if it was him who was possessed
the whole time? Okay.
The whole time.
Yeah, I'd like to see a prequel to this where it deals with his visit to the Grove. I'd like to see a sequel to this where obviously he's not dead. Maybe he's in an insane asylum. Like, you can move with this property, and I would love to have a complete story for it. I really would. I enjoyed it so much that I would love it to complete.
They can even do a sequel with his character because he's still alive at the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
You hear the police officers.
You could have him in a nut house or something, whatever. Because obviously the motherfucker's going to prison or something, right? Like, on camera slaughtering at least one individual.
Unless it was in Canada.
Another thing that was really cool, and I don't know, you may have to go back and watch it. Before they show his wife in Ghost Glory, you actually see her several times prior to that in little shots as the movie goes along in the background.
Really?
Yeah. The first one where they go backstage and he goes to the food. He's talking to his producer.
Yeah.
He goes to walk away and there's a mirror he walks past and she's standing in the mirror. Yeah.
I saw that one. I don't think I saw any of the other ones.
Oh,
though.
Shit. There she is.
Which is very, it's like Stir of Echoes vibes almost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah. I love this movie. If you have Shudder, it might also be on like an IFC streaming channel if you have that, because it is an IFC movie as well, I believe. I think they published it and Shudder distributed it.
It was just announced you can buy and rent on Fandango.
Yeah, so I would definitely figure out how to run this movie through. It's fun. I really enjoyed it. It's a throwback with some modern twists and everything. So I think we all know what's coming next. That's right.
The Beanies.
The Beanies.
What kind of Beanies?
Did you put up a new one? Is it a new one?
No.
No?
Yeah,
my stream is low.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna do a new one next week. I think I have the song picked up. The mic's alive. No. That's right. That's the last time you'll be seeing that Chicago Dog Reviews video. We'll be retiring that one after this week. It's gotten its 3 or 4 week period. I think we'll give them a month each, maybe. And then we'll be switching. But yeah, I think maybe that's the plan. I'll switch them up monthly. That way it doesn't get too stale. Well, I'll go first. I'm going to give this a pretty strong 9 out of 10. I enjoy this movie quite a bit. I don't necessarily dislike the ending. I just want more. Which is probably a good thing. It's probably a success on their part. But I want more. I want to know everything about the rest of the story that is untold to us. But yeah, the easy 9 out of 10. Probably my favorite quote-unquote horror movie released in quite some time.
I'll go next, man. As far as horror movies go, this proved that horror movies don't have to be all about fucking, you know, killing at, you know, throughout the
whole movie. Or jump scares.
Yeah.
There was none of that shit in this one.
It doesn't have to be fucking complicated. It doesn't have to be fucking, you know, crammed full of fucking death all through the movie. Mm-hmm. And I like that about it. And also all the acting was pretty good from everybody.
Yeah.
The Lily chick was kind of creepy at times because the way she just fucking stared at the camera.
He did a good job.
Every time it was dead on. She was staring, and then she would say, "Which one am I supposed to look at now?"
Yeah, that was a point. And it was so funny
because she's actually looking at it. Which one am I looking at now?
Well, then the other weird thing, it was almost like in between that when she was being nice, she was like a possessed Brady Bunch member.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, you know.
And also, like I said earlier, like I like how they used all the different camera angles that you know where you're looking at, like because the stuff still rolls, and you see it happening, and then also you see like if it. I don't know if they really did it back then, but like if it was shot, you know, like 8mm style, where somebody in the back probably did have something rolling, and they were, you know,
because I saw this in chats too. They're like, "Oh, that last scene. How do they have the camera up there?" I was like, "You idiots! They have hanging cameras on fucking ropes and wheels."
Here's the thing: who said that last point of view is a camera shot?
Yeah,
I felt because of the way it cut to. The his logo, the logo thing at the end there.
But
like it was in between commercial shots.
But my whole point is like for all I know, their whole concept is we're the ones under hypnosis. And we're an audience member, and at the end of the hypnosis, we wake up and that's what we are seeing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I don't know if that's the point of view they're going. It could be the point of view of like I mean, you've seen Jay Leno and shit when they do that high angle above the stage that shows audience members and shit.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. And the audience was sitting on an angle stoop.
Yeah.
And they didn't show that when they pulled out. So, yeah, it could be somebody at the top there.
It could be a point. I mean, it could be the point of view of the one orchestrating everything. Like, I don't know. That's the thing is there's so much unanswered, like, in-between shit that I like the movie. I like the movie a lot. That is a problem I have with the movie, but I don't knock the movie for it. It's just me wanting more backstory and more lore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 9 out of 10 for me.
But yeah, 9 for me as well. I liked it.
I'll go. Unless anybody else? Is there anybody else left?
I don't know. Where's Anthony?
he's going to have a late night with a broken windshield.
I'm gonna give this actually a 10 out of 10. I, as Matt knows, as Alex knows, I love found footage.
Me too, yeah.
I love those movies.
I do want to watch that Hispanic Satanist movie or Satanic Hispanics.
It's an anthology. And I love anthology movies too. But this is a very good found footage for this year in a long time. In the last couple years, I'm going to not compare that to VHS because VHS, I'm biased with VHS. I love VHS. I love the series.
Well, also, the original three are a different quality than the ones that come after, have come after it by quite a long shot. Like, the original three are amazing. The sequels are okay.
Yeah. I also love that this movie plays with you psychologically. It leaves you with questions. They're not bad questions, but I do like, and I'm a lore guy. I think enough lore was given with the satanic cult, the doctor, the medium, who dies. That's amazing. just dead.
The one that starts puking up black shit.
Yeah.
The Christoph or whatever his name.
Yeah. Well, when he's like, I just heard that he's dead, and they're just kind of like, what the fuck? Also, I just thought about this. Do you think one of the reasons he was under so much pressure to get the higher ratings and achieve the success is because he was like, okay, Grove, you took my fucking wife from me, pay up? Like, do you think that was part of it? Of like, where is it coming to me? Because I've sacrificed now. Where are my comeuppance? Like, maybe that was also part of it.
So the reason I think the Grove was so involved and that gentleman in the skeleton suit was a Grove member is because during the opening documentary series, they mention that he's part of this society.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for elites. And the skeptic guy asks him.
Carr, he says, I want to get into this.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I want to get in there. He's like, especially the orgy part. I want the orgy part.
Yeah, I want the orgy.
Fucking hilarious. But I mean, that's just one theory. There's so many. You're muted, Matt.
He told him that he's overestimating their power. I think is what he told them, or their influence.
And there are points throughout the movie where his cast clearly knows what he's trying to do. And his manager's like, you need to shut the hell up about it and just let it go.
The poor band leader the whole fucking time, basically, is just like, that poor son of a bitch. Yeah. I truly felt bad for him, like that
Joe or something like that.
Well, I don't remember. He did a good job as like the goofy band leader too. Like the whole cast was pretty on point in this one.
They were. Yeah, I love this movie. I give it a 10. And the reason I scored it so high, is because, like I said,
Gus,
we haven't gotten a found footage movie, a really good one, in a long time. It's a genre that I thought couldn't be refreshed.
Well,
beyond VHS.
It's very similar to the original ones that were a lot of build up to a good climax. Like, this takes it back to kind of what a found footage movie's core is, starting from the sort of Texas Chainsaw sort of text across the screen, explaining that this is the footage that was never seen, blah, 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 all the way down to how it's shot. And the build up of the movie is very reminiscent more of a Blair Witch or of, you know, the McLaren tapes than any new school found footage. Like, even VHS doesn't have, there's not much build up in those because they're short films. Yeah. So they don't have a whole lot of time to fuck around. But like, your traditional found footage was 45 minutes to an hour of tension building. And then it's a half hour, 20 minutes of shit going wild. Mm-hmm. And it usually on a non-happy ending.
Yeah.
So like, this hits all of the markers of what makes a traditional solid found footage movie. I love this thing. I really did.
Yeah, it was a great movie. It's great. And I'm going to watch it again because of all the little things in it, the little notches. I want to know them.
I might have Jen watch it because before I watched it, I thought maybe it'd be a little too much for her because she's not really into these types of movies. But it's not a scary movie, so I might have her watch it and then I can watch it again to see what I notice.
It's more like when you see his wife again, you're like, oh shit, was that this? When you hear about the Grove, you're like, oh shit, do they know? Like, it's more of that type of movie. You just discover shit as you go.
The only thing I think that could have been a little cooler with they could have done a little bit more with the little girl. And small things like the little girl talking to him in the wife's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, kind of taunting him like, she's not up there, she's with me. Like, sort of thing, you know? Like, small little things that could have added specifically with Lily to kind of fill out, because her role in this, even though she's technically the possessed one, was pretty minimal all in all.
Yeah, she didn't do a lot.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. Like the creepy things when she started staring at the cameras, it like kind of like died off after a while. But I still liked what they were doing with that.
Yeah, I wanted more of her possession, especially when she starts questioning about the Grove, and then she starts questioning about fucking her guardian. Like, I wanted a bit more of the exorcism style stuff.
You showed the raw footage of him. Why don't you show my footage? Like, yeah, that was kind of cool, like, how that went.
Yeah, you know, I'd agree. And
then for them to point it out, refers back to what you were saying earlier, or refers back to what
why you, I would have loved just, like I said, just a time-lapse of it. Give me a 30-second to a minute-long time-lapse of everything going on raw feed. I think would have given me a lot of closure that I was looking for on it. And I agree. I understand why they did it. But for me, it would have really rounded. Like, if it would have had that, it probably would have been a 10 today for it. I'd have felt.
You know what? They could have done a credits roll. They could have pulled like the video off to the side with the credits, and it could have just said raw footage.
Yep, didn't even exactly. Have that down.
And just like
yep, and just for the minute and a half, 2 minutes of the credit is a time lapse of just the raw feed of him of what actually happened on that set. No zoom in angles, just from that the end camera angle that we get, but from the beginning.
That would have been cool.
Like, that for me would have pushed this movie to a 10, because then it would have, yes, still left me with questions, but it would have made me feel a little bit more fulfilled by it. Because you already did it twice, technically, in the movie prior. Why not reuse that device to give me a little bit more fulfillment by the end? You know what I mean? Like, I would have chosen to do that if possible. The only problem with that is then you're essentially filming how long of that, you know, like, are you just film, like, how do you film that? How do you take the entire movie, you know what I mean, and film
that? Because then you got to duplicate the kills, too.
You essentially would have to film them doing dress rehearsals, since there's no audio or anything, you know what I mean? You could do that. And since it's all probably in his head, there is no levitating, you know, if that's the case, whatever they want to present. You know what I mean? Like, they could even be fuckheads, and this would have maybe given me a little bit more satisfaction of, like, you show it up until it gets to the point where the she's levitating, and then let the signal go out and distort. And then cut it off there. I'm okay with that. Just something. Something would have been nice for it. But other than that, I really enjoyed this movie. I did. I will watch it again. I was looking forward to it when I first saw it. I thought it looked interesting and kind of fresh. And then finally being able to watch it, I was very happy.
Yeah, it does pay off very well.
All right. 2 9s and a 10. Stellar movie. Definitely recommend you guys watch it. Thanks for hanging out with us. Another week, another. We don't know what we're doing next week. We are actually not doing it. That's right. We're not doing an episode next week, are we? We're off. No. That's right.
Yeah. I got a birthday.
Oh, you got a birthday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got so no episode my kid next back. Week.
Maybe I'll, right. If I can get my ass to get something in order, maybe I'll try a test run of the solo podcast. It won't be about movies, though. It's going to be just about generalities and nerd shit.
Happy early birthday, though. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. A couple weeks for, what is it, the third now? Yeah, 10 days? Thank you, Jen. Thank you. I keep forgetting. I couldn't believe we're already in May.
I know, dude. I'm like fuck,
it's May.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
When it turned to first.
The role Larry. What? Anyways, have a good night, everybody. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.